Fillmore Street. This is CamillePod.com. The Week in Georgia in English, coming to you from San Francisco's Lower Haight. Today is Thursday, the 18th of February, 2016. On this date in 1856, the Know-Nothings, predecessors of today's Tea Party, convene in Philadelphia. 1861, with Italian unification almost complete, Victor Emmanuel II assumes title of King of Italy. 1885, Mark Twain publishes The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn. 1929, the first Academy Awards, or Oscars, are announced. 1943, the Nazis arrest the members of the White Rose Movement. 1948, Eamon de Valera resigns as Taoiseach, or Prime Minister of Ireland. 1954, the first Church of Scientology is established in Los Angeles. 2001, FBI agent Robert Hansen is arrested for spying for the Soviet Union. 2013, armed robbers steal $50 million worth of diamonds during a raid at the Brussels airport in Belgium. 2014, the Maidan demonstrations in Kiev turn violent as shots are fired into the crowd. Birthdays are writer Len Deighton, writer Toni Morrison, director Milos Forman, artist Yoko Ono, actor John Travolta, crooner Dr. Dre, and actress Greta Sacchi. I'm your host, Mark Wellen. As ever, this podcast is written by Ari Suyaka. If you'd like to comment on the forum, ask a question, go to tapealpod.com or send us an email at tapealpod@gmail.com. Iran reintroduced visa-free travel for Georgian citizens up to 90 days, as well as for citizens of Azerbaijan, Bolivia, Egypt, Lebanon, Turkey, and Syria. This comes after Georgia reintroduced visa-free regime for Iranian citizens on the 15th of February, allowing Iranians to come to Georgia for a 45-day period. Iran will also issue 30-day visas upon arrival at its international airports for citizens of 180 countries. However, not for citizens from the United States, the UK, and Canada, among a few others. On Iran and gas, Energy Minister Kahi Kaladze was on an official visit to Iran starting on the 15th of February to discuss potential gas deals. As a side note, Deputy Energy Minister Miriam Valishvili earlier said that buying Iranian gas is not commercially viable for Georgia at this stage, since it's about 25% more expensive, but they are not ruling out some types of energy swap arrangements. After Kaladze's meeting in Iran, it was revealed that they were talking specifically on supplying 200 million cubic meters of Iranian gas to Georgia via Armenia. On a related note, related to Iran, following up on previous stories, three Iranian airlines will likely enter the Georgian market soon, according to Tbilisi airport operator Tab Georgia. The negotiations are continuing, but they want to launch regular flights between Tbilisi and Tehran by the end of February. They're talking with Mahan Air, ATA Airlines, and Keshem Airlines. President Margvelashvili nominated former IMF senior economist Koba Gvenetadze to be the seventh board member of the National Bank of Georgia. He has to be approved by Parliament, and Parliament's Finance Budgetary Committee has already voted in support. As a reminder, a seat in the National Board will become vacant later in February when the seven-year term of National Bank President Georgi Kadagidze comes to an end. It will be up to the seven-member board to pick a new president of the central bank from among its members, which will then require approval from President Margvelashvili. Following up on other foreign visits, Georgia sent an official delegation to the Munich Security Conference, which included Prime Minister, Foreign Minister, Defense Minister, Justice Minister, and parliamentarians. On the sidelines of the conference, they met with Prosecutor Fatou Bensouda of the International Criminal Court, who's investigating the August 2008 war. Prime Minister Kvitikashvili met with the presidents of Ukraine, Lithuania, Estonia, Bulgaria, and Slovenia, the Prime Minister of Norway, and Montenegro. The EU Foreign Policy Chief Federica Mogherini. Meanwhile, Foreign Minister Mikhail Janalidze met his Iranian counterpart. Defense Minister Khidashelli discussed with the American officials the idea of inviting Secretary of Defense Ash Carter to visit Georgia this summer. Following up on last week's story at the Georgia NATO Commission meeting in Brussels, Defense Minister Tiniko Khidashelli raised the issue of creating a Georgia NATO substantial package trust fund, which would give greater support to Georgia. Tbilisi is hosting the fifth trilateral meeting between foreign ministers of Georgia, Turkey, and Azerbaijan on the 19th of February. The format was launched in 2012. They'll visit the Kartsakhi section of the Baku-Tbilisi-Kars railway project in southern Georgia. Railway is expected to be fully operational by 2017. Turkey's foreign minister was in Georgia for an official visit ahead of the trilateral meeting. Kazakhstan's deputy prime minister was in Tbilisi this week to discuss Kazakh investments, the Batumi port, and oil terminal. Regarding the government's plan to reform the tax system that we've been discussing, finance ministry said that it will have to cut about 400 million lari from the 2016 state budget because the planned corporate income tax reform will reduce tax revenues this year. As a reminder, they want to follow the Estonian model where corporate income tax will only apply to distributed profits. Undistributed profits reinvested or retained will not be subject to income taxation. However, it will not apply to banks, insurance companies, and microfinance organizations in the first 3 years. The proposed amendment to the tax code was endorsed by the cabinet on the 12th of February and will be sent to Parliament for consideration. If approved, it will go into force from the 1st of July 2016. In another proposal by the finance ministry, company using fixed assets in VAT taxable operations will be exempt from VAT on import on the import of fixed assets. Business associations in Georgia have supported the proposed tax forms very enthusiastically. The incumbent head of the National Bank, Georgi Kadagidze, has again called for merging and reducing government ministries in order to save public money. He compared Georgia with Switzerland, which has 8 ministries, while Georgia has 19. Some suggestions he made were merging the Ministry for European Integration into the Foreign Ministry, getting rid of the Prisons Ministry, merging it the Sports Ministry with Education, canceling the Ministry of Culture, which he called a holdover from the Soviet Union, did cause some discussion. The prison minister came out in support of the proposal to merge the prison ministry and the justice ministry as a way to save money. As a note, the prison ministry was created in 2008 to avoid a conflict of interest when the justice ministry was merged with the prosecutor general's office, all of which was done just because of it was convenient for Misha shuffling around people. Notice that when they say save money and merging ministry, that will mean firing people. That is the way that the money is saved, which is unlikely, in my view, to happen before the parliamentary elections. Tbilisi will be importing electricity from Russia in the short-term deal, to supply Abkhazia with electricity. Abkhazia has been having unstable power supply and power cuts since the 25th of January because of falling water levels at the Inguri Reservoir. Abkhazia fully relies on electricity generated by Inguri hydropower plant. The 270-meter-tall concrete arch dam is located on the Georgian side of the administrative boundary line. 5 generators are on the Abkhaz side in Gali District. Georgia and Abkhazia have been cooperating for years to secure the operation of the dam, but there's been a drop in the Inguri water level because it hasn't rained and snowed. So Abkhazia's electricity distributor, Morenergo, imposed several hours of power cut daily to save water in the reservoir. Finally, on the 16th of February, Tbilisi and Suchumi reached a deal to get electricity from Russia. Otherwise, the power in Abkhazia would have been cut off entirely in March. Georgia's energy ministry has not provided details of the arrangement, and it's unclear how much Tbilisi is paying to import the additional electricity. About the giant old trees that Bidzina is moving from Ajada to his private garden on the 13th of February, he visited the site. As a reminder, activists were protesting for weeks and were blocking the excavation works. Bidzina said they've temporarily halted the tree-moving operation for now, that he believes he has all the proper documentation for it. He's purchased the trees, but they're checking again. Reportedly, there's a document missing from the landowner, who is, by the way, registered in Panama and isn't a Georgian citizen, and they're having trouble finding him. National Movement's been involved in criticizing BI over it. They brought up the tree-moving issue in 2 parliamentary committees last week. Hungarian low-cost airline Wizz Air officially opened its 24th city of Kutaisi International Airport on the 7th of February. The operation will have 1 A320 aircraft. They also announced 7 new destinations from Kutaisi Airport starting in September. Tickets are already available. They will fly to Berlin, Dortmund, Larnaca, which is in Cyprus, Milan, Munich, Sofia, and Thessaloniki. And the prices will range from 25 to 40 euros a flight. I'll believe it when I see them going all those places from Kutaisi. Each flight will be twice a week. The Thessaloniki flight will be three times a week. Ireland's low-cost airline Ryanair also expressed interest in launching flights to Kutaisi. Their representatives visited Georgia this week and met with the prime minister and economy minister to discuss. Gogi Topadze, the industry will save Georgia party, which is part of the Otsuneba Georgian Dream Coalition, accused Defense Minister Khidashely of fraud in the October 2015 elections for a member of parliament seat in Sagarejo district. A little late on that, but okay. Following up on last week's story, we reported that lawyer Gheorghe Tatiashvili launched a case in the Constitutional Court in support of gay marriage, but LGBT groups are not siding with him, saying that it's a Russian plot. According to Tpilpod.com's many well-placed informants, he has close connections with people in the Interior Ministry, and that it's an anti-Western group that is filing the case in the Constitutional Court. We've also heard that Tatiashvili was previously in prison for blackmail. Minister of IDPs is proposing that asylum seekers from war-torn countries who apply to come to Georgia will be granted special permission to stay for 1 year. The people will be granted the status that they are under temporary protection. If after 12 months the situation in the refugee's home country has improved, they are expected to return home. If it hasn't, they'll be allowed to stay in Georgia. The ministry is still working on the exact wording of the proposal. On a related note, a new building to house asylum seekers opened in the village of Martkopi in Kvemokartli. The U.S. State Department allocated close to $1 million for its construction. Four NATO ships, which are assigned to the Standing NATO Mine Countermeasures Group 2, made a port call in Batumi from the 12th to the 15th of February. The Chief of Staff of NATO's Maritime Command, Rear Admiral Giorgio Lazio, also came and met with Minister of Interior Gheorghe Mkhebdeshvili. The ships conducted sea exercises with the Georgian Coast Guard. Chief Prosecutor's Office has charged former prosecutor Zura Adeshvili and his first deputy Gheorghe Lasabidze for events from 2004 regarding the closure of Iberia TV channel and the seizure of its broadcasting license. Prosecutor's Office alleged that shortly the national movement wanted to control Iberia TV, which was then owned by the Omega Group. They said that Adeshvili and Lasabidze brought a group of people into the TV station building, kicked out the staff. They then forced the Omega Group leaders to give their media broadcasting license. Sounds plausible, although I don't remember. Minister of Reintegration proposed an initiative to create a new Russian language TV channel in Georgia. There's been an ongoing debate on the Russian language TV, on using Russian language TV to counter Russian propaganda in Abkhazia and South Ossetia and beyond in Eastern Europe, and being able to reach those people who watch Russian language TV and tell them about what is happening in Georgia. Previously in Georgia, there was Russian language TV channel Alania, which broadcast from 2005 to 11. And in 2010 to 12, there was Channel Peak, which operated under the Georgian public broadcaster. So this debate has been revived. Security analysts are discussing it in Georgian media and saying how it's important to counter Russian propaganda, that they don't think Peak should have been closed, and so on. Peak was set up by Rob Parsons, a very well-known British journalist, who, by the way, is one of the handful of Westerners who speaks perfect Georgian. It was great, Canal Peak. Sadly, it was very high quality, quite anti-Russian, but that's understandable. But also, Misha couldn't really help himself from keeping it tightly under government control. It was great while it lasted, and would be great if a more independent version of it would be revived. Certainly donors like the British and American governments and others would be smart to be involved in that somehow to ensure its independence and get it some money, which would be very useful since those broadcasting in Russian seem to be overwhelmed by Kremlin sponsorship. According to SP Advisor's Macroeconomic Review of Georgia, while 2016 has started sluggishly, Georgia's economy has proven resilient in absorbing regional shocks. They believe GDP growth may even accelerate a bit in 2016, and that inflation will return to near National Bank's 5% target. They believe the lari will have an exchange rate of 2.5 to 2.6 to the dollar through 2016. They note that private investor interest in Georgia remains strong despite the economic difficulties, as does funding from international financial institutions. Nutty news of the week, Russian former chief sanitary inspector and annoying weirdo Gennady Onyshenko suggested in an interview that the U.S. is possibly infecting mosquitoes with the Zika virus in a U.S. Army microbiology lab in Georgia as a form of biological warfare against Russia. He said Russian scientists identified a surge in the kind of mosquitoes that carried the virus in Abkhazia. As a note, the lab he refers to is a biological research facility built by the U.S. Defense Threat Agency in 2011 that was later handed over to the National Center for Disease Control. That lab is really a serious lab, is a favorite target among Russian conspiracy theorists. The idea was for it to be a place that Soviet military biologists could be employed in a normal way rather than getting bought up by North Korea or who knows who to do who knows what. Although thanks to fraud and the usual Pentagon contractors' hijinks, it cost a fortune to build and took a very, very long time. None of that was ever investigated, by the way, but it works well now. Ministry of Regional Development rehabilitated the water distribution system for three villages along the administrative boundary line with South Ossetia, which previously didn't have regular access to running water. Funding came from the World Bank for the project. They also constructed five boreholes, a reservoir, a chlorination tank, and a pumping station, and fixed up a 40-kilometer water pipe network in the area. And more from them. The Ministry of Regional Development is set to carry out a rehabilitation works at David Gareja Monastery Complex, also with financial support from the World Bank. The project will provide water, sewage, and power supply to the monastery, renovations to some of the facades, landscaping, and a visitor's center. No info yet on when that will start. Prime Minister Kvitikashvili spoke about reforming higher education in Georgia. They plan to adopt a German model where the government will fund professions demanded by certain industries, such as, he mentioned, animal husbandry and food technology. Austria added Georgia to the list of safe countries, meaning Georgian citizens cannot receive asylum in Austria, even Matthias Hutter. Following up on previous stories, the Defense Ministry has begun registration in Panchisi Gorge for people interested in volunteer military service. As a reminder, Defense Minister Tiniko Khidashelli visited Panchisi a few weeks ago and introduced a program for youth to join the military in a bid to counter high unemployment as well as youth recruitment into radical Islamic organizations. Following up on more air industry stuff, Paris-based company Thales signed a 2 million euro radar system maintenance deal with Georgia's air navigation service provider to bring its aviation radar systems in line with international standards. They'll also train Georgian staff and perform regular maintenance checks. State Agency for Religious Affairs announced that in 2016, the government will allocate 4.5 million lari to support religious communities in the country. 2 million is intended for the Muslim community. Money transfers into Georgia, remittances, were down 11.8% in January 2016 compared to January the year before, according to the National Bank. Hotels in Georgia will be offering a new system of online booking and payments. The program is designed by web design studio ProService and supported by the National Tourism Administration. Previously, to book a hotel, you could do it by booking.com or calling, but not through an individual online service. Nine Georgian wines won medals at the 2016 Sakura Wine Awards, which is a Japanese competition exclusively by women. I'm not sure whether it's the women that are tasting or that are making. I think it's tasting. The wine that won the double gold is the 2005 Saperavi Reserve by the Kahuri Wine Company. Finance Ministry's investigative service detained three people for selling counterfeit salt. Was non-iodized salt sold at a retail market without proper labeling. Everybody ought to get iodized salt. That lack of iodized salt was a big problem in Georgia in the 90s, and evidently it's still around. New local company called Murphy Kazbegi will implement a $2.5 million project in the village of Panchetti in Kazbegi area, where they'll build a large parking area, hotel, fast food joint, as well as new road and bridge aimed mainly at serving truck drivers. Reportedly, 3,500 truck drivers go through that road a week in their long queues because of the customs on the Russian border. National Property Agency is lending the company the land for 49 years and is requiring them to build the road and bridge in return. On the 16th and 17th of February, Tbilisi hosted the European Bank for Reconstruction and Development South Caucasus Infrastructure and Energy Summit. The roads in Spanetti and Tuscheti were featured on a Dutch edition of the TV series World's Most Dangerous Roads. Not sure whether that was because of potholes or drivers or both. Two Georgian athletes, a luger and a skier, are participating in the 2016 Winter Youth Olympic Games in Norway. Georgian translator and writer Bechana Bregvadze passed away at the age of 80. He was renowned in the publishing world. He translated literature from ancient Greek, Latin, Italian, French, Spanish, German, Portuguese, and Russian into Georgian. Texts such as the New Testament, Don Quixote, The Little Prince, among others. In parliamentary news, following up on last week's stories, on the 15th of February, member of parliament Soso Josh Fliani withdrew his proposed bill about insulting religious feelings. Parliament dropped the bill as well. I guess somebody important weighed in on that. As a reminder, the bill was endorsed by Parliament's Human Rights Committee earlier in the month, but drew criticism from human rights groups and also from some Otsneva ruling coalition members. Head of the Parliament's Committee for Healthcare, Dmitry Kundadze, proposed a bill to his committee called Safe Internet for Children that aims at restricting children's ability to access porn sites online. We don't have further details on what the specifics are. Another part of the proposal to create a payment system for adults to view porn sites. An ethnic Armenian member of parliament criticized some of his colleagues in parliament for supporting what he called an anti-Armenian resolution in the Council of Europe. The resolution was about access to water in Nagorno-Karabakh. The meme this week is how everyone was sharing the news on Facebook about Wizz Air adding new flights to Kutaisi. A picture was circulating. It was really just a piece of paper with the new flight routes and pieces and prices on it. I mean, it was written in Georgia and very amateur. I mean, it was obviously just a piece of paper that anybody could written, but it had 450 shares. So everybody's excited about the destinations and the cheapness, although that wasn't a very authoritative source. A new book published by Palgrave Macmillan called Security in Shared Neighborhoods, A Foreign Policy of Russia, Turkey, and the EU. These shared neighborhoods are the areas of the Black Sea, Caspian Sea, Mediterranean, the Middle East. The editor is longtime Cartvelophile and Tpilpod.com listener Licinia Simão from Portugal. Good to have the Iberian Peninsula and Southern Europe, and areas normally preoccupied with the problems of Southern Europe, to be looking east. Interview on BBC with longtime listener Sarah Leah Cobham, author of Nino's Song, which is the author's journey as she returns to Georgia to reconnect with an old home. As for those in Tbilisi, the book will be available at Prospero's later in February. Science Mag talks with geographer Elizabeth Dunn on why humanitarian aid often fails. Dunn came to Georgia in 2008 on a Fulbright grant to study agriculture, but a lot of the farmers were displaced by the war, so she stayed with them and saw how they were trying to rebuild their lives using humanitarian aid. She says the aid agencies made a bunch of mistakes. She's right. It's necessary to change this for future refugee crises, for example, with Syria. First, she noticed that aid agencies don't communicate at all about their plans with the people they are targeting. So those people don't know how to plan themselves with the resources they do have. Second, aid agencies tend to use an aid template from another situation or crisis and reproduce it without looking at the situation on the ground, often spend a lot of money on those things the particular groups of refugees or displaced people don't need. An example from Georgia is they were bringing boxes of stuffed teddy bears to displace people in 2008. which might have been useful in a different place where there were where many children were displaced, for example, Syrians in Europe. But in Georgia, the average age of the displaced person was 54, and what they really needed was medicine and geriatric care. Anyway, it's a really great article, and Elizabeth Dunn is very much worthy of reading on this, and I hope that people pay attention to that with Syrian refugees as well. Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty had a video report from the dark streets of Baku. The city's turned off public lights to save on electricity bills. Another video report from RF, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, which goes inside the abandoned synagogues and mosques in Akhaltsikhe region. They say some NGOs in Georgia are pushing the government to restore them to preserve Georgia's cultural heritage. Reuters reports that Prime Minister Kvitikashvili and the government are considering issuing euro bonds to deal with the, which just means non-dollar denominated bonds. It doesn't mean bonds in euros, although these could be in euros, to deal with the economic slowdown. They are planning roadshows in the U.S. this year. Another piece of Georgian piece on Georgian restaurants opening in Israel. The restaurants are usually opened and run by Georgian Jews, although a major one called Supra is by a known Israeli chef, and she was specially taught how to make chingali, that allegedly Georgian food is now super cool in Israel. Another Tbilisi episode on culinary backstreets. They go visit the supposed chingali queen, Chef Lena Ezeishvili of Sofia Melnikova's fantastic Dukani. Gyorgy Lomsadze of Eurasianet reports that South Ossetia will now need visas from the KGB to cross the administrative boundary line and visit villages on the Georgian side, which will obviously make people's lives more difficult because they have family and friends on the other side. Or they can just wait till their family members get kidnapped and visit them in prison in Steen Valley till they pay the bribes. U.S. State Department's official blog relates to how the U.S. is assisting Georgia to care for its soldiers after they've returned from international missions. Eurasianet, very interesting behind-the-scenes piece. Monica Elena covers the surprise that China did not win the bid to build the Anaklia deep-sea port. Canada's Globe and Mail reports on a Vancouver company accused of fraud over a Georgia investment. They were raising millions to fund and rebuild a cancer center in Tbilisi in a deal they had made with Misha's government, but haven't really been actually spending any of that money on the ground. IWPR looks at how the three South Caucasus countries are looking for closer economic ties with Iran and now that the sanctions are lifted. CRC looks at dwellings in Georgia's urban areas. All that stuff to read. Post on the forum. This week's dive bar number is 5, which is Georgia's ranking in terms of countries that publish the most books per population. According to The Economist magazine, they say that Georgia publishes 1,547 new titles per million population and is behind only the UK, Slovenia, Taiwan, and Spain. Considering Georgia's population, that's 5,000 new titles per year, which is a lot. Wonder what those titles are. Produce in Georgia program is inviting entrepreneurs in Georgia to apply to get training and co-financing. More information available at www.cartuli.ge. The application is open until the 31st of March. Any listeners who know any aspiring entrepreneurs should definitely send them there. It is spelled with a Q, that is Q-A-R-T-U-L-I.ge. Veteran Russian rocker and Kremlin critic Andrei Makarovich will play a concert in Tbilisi Concert Hall on the 9th of March. He was the leader of the rock band Mashina Vremeni, which was founded in 1969. He comes under criticism in Russia recently for opposing the war in Ukraine. If you're in Tbilisi on the 19th of February at 7 p.m., the Frontline Club Georgia is screening a documentary about IDP women from Abkhazia with English subtitles. It's produced by Liberale Media Group. Tbilisi is hosting the 2016 Georgia Gaming Congress on the 25th of February. It's for online casinos, software developers, and investors. In May, the Yale Alumni School of Ambassadors will be leading a sightseeing trip through Georgia and Armenia. They also want to meet with local students and introduce them to Yale, encourage them towards liberal arts education. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email is tpeelpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, www.tpeelpod.com. And we will finish with, from 1993, this is Salt and Peppa and Shoop. Hey, yeah, I want to shoot, baby. Shoot. Ooh. How you doing, baby? Shoot. No, not you. You. Shoot. The bow-legged one. Yeah. What's your name? Shoot. Damn, baby. That sounds sexy. Here I go again, oh, girls, man. What's my weakness? Yeah. Okay, then chillin', minding my business. Word. Your thoughts, I looked around and I couldn't believe this. I swear, I stand, my niece, my witness. The brother had it going over something kinda wicked, had to kick it. I'm not shy, so I ask for the digits. I hope no, that don't make me see what I want, slip, slide to it swiftly. Felt it in my hips, so I dip back to my bag of tricks. Then I flip forward, tip, made me wanna do tricks. Gonna lick them like the lollipop should be lit. Came to my senses and I chill for a bit. Don't know how you do the voodoo that you do so well. It's a spell, hell makes me wanna shoot. You're packed in your stack, especially in the back, brother. I wanna thank your mother for a butt like that. Can I get some fries with that shake, shake, booby? If looks could kill, you would be an easy over shotgun bang. What's up with that thing? I wanna know, how does it hang? Straight up, wait up, hold up, Mr. Lover. Like Prince said, you're a sexy mother. Well, I like them real wild. B-boy style by the mile. Smooth black skin with a smile. Bright as the sun, I wanna have some fun. Come and give me some of that yum yum chocolate chip honey dip. Can I get a scoop? Baby, take a ride in my coupe. You make me want to.
Six two, wanna hit you. So what you wanna do?
What you wanna do?
I wanna shoot.